Erev Tov, everybody. Next. Yeah, Vakasha. Erev Tov, everybody. Next Tuesday night, there will not be a shiur. Next Tuesday night, we will be in the middle of the reading of the Megillah here in Yerushalayim, here HaKadosh. And there won't be a class at the Israel Center Tuesday morning, because one of the most unusual and lovely days in the year is Purim Day in the rest of the world. Here in Yerushalayim, it's Mishnahim and it's Mishnaher. It's neither here nor there. It's sort of a day in the calendar that exists there, and it's great. First of all, I always say one of the greatest things about Yerushalayim is that you don't have to come to the reading of the Megillah hungry. All of the rest of the poor people in the world have to fast Tainus Esther, and they come to the Megillah. By the way, that's when I started hating children. We're all hungry, and they're clapping by every haman, you understand, that the neshuma can go out from it all. But here in Yerushalayim, it's a different story. In Yerushalayim, we can come after having had a very, very relaxed day, and we enjoy the day. Now, you have three sheets. One is Yeshayahu, that's going to be one. Yecheskel is going to be two. And Yirmiyahu is going to be three. And you have Yirmiyahu, very good, but all right. I just want to tell you the story first of Yeshayahu. At the beginning, the first morning of the Gulf War, 12 years ago, somebody from Shul called me and said, "Rabbi, I need a pasuk to take me through the day." So the Rabbeinu Shalom gave me a pasuk, and I told her the following. It's on your Yeshayahu sheet, and it's underlined, and you might as well have to know it all over again come next week. Yeshayahu says, "Leich ami, go my people, bo b'chadarecha, come into your rooms, usgor d'losecha ba'adecha, and close the door behind you. Chavi kima'at rega, wait for a little while, ad yavor za'am, until the anger will pass." Great advice that was given by God to Yeshayahu, the Jewish people. So I told this pasuk to the woman who called me. About a half an hour later, this was about 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, I start getting calls, "Rabbi, what a pasuk there is." "Yeah, really? What pasuk? Did you hear this? Well, which pasuk?" "Yes, I played the game very well." Now, 12 years later, I can say that I started it going through Harno. We have to, the pasuk is telling you that don't be too smart. Listen to what the Pikud HaOda tells you. Listen to what they tell you. Listen to the instructions. You have all the materials ready to make your cheder atum. You have your gas masks. Now, you have all sorts of cans of food. Chances are that the people who have cans of food in their rooms don't have a can opener. So don't forget a can opener. That's it. All we have so far is water. Most probably tomorrow we'll pick up cans of food. Now, if they wait till after Purim, there'll be loads of food to put into the cheder atum. But unbelievably powerful and beautiful words of Yeshayahu. It's the kind of pasuk that it's worthwhile to learn it. Baal Peh, you will certainly impress all your friends and the members of your family. Leich ami bo v'chadarecha uskor d'losecha ba'adecha chavi kim'at rega ad yavor zam. He was saying, most probably for the same reason, that that there was going to be the forces of Ashur, Assyria, were going to make their way through the through Eretz Yisrael. But ultimately, they were going to be destroyed at the gates of Yerushalayim. Just wait. Just wait. Don't do anything untoward. Don't go out there and be a big hero, because there won't be any necessity to fight the forces of Assyria. They are going to be brought down by a plague, 185,000 of them, outside of Yerushalayim. That was the angel of death who went out in the middle of the night, and he destroyed the entire camp of Ashur. So therefore, you, in Yiddish, they would say it very well. Yeshayahu says it more dignified. In Yiddish, they would say, Lig angeleicht. Understand? Don't become a hero. Don't go out and do anything that you shouldn't be doing. Just wait. It's going to pass. The Rabbeinu Shlomo is going to take care of you. That's one. You can take Yeshayahu's home, so you can make sure to study it and impress all of your friends.
Second is Yechezkel.
The story of this pasuk in Yechezkel, it begins where it is underlined. On one side you'll see three words of a pasuk underlined. It's pasuk Chet, pasuk Hey. 2 weeks before the Gulf War, I wrote this as an article. I wrote it up as an article that appeared in Hatzot Fair. It took a great deal of courage to do that then, I must say. I hope that whatever I said then will be true in Yitz Hashem today as well. The pasuk is talking about the days of Gog and Magog. These chapters in Yeshayahu are talking about Gog and Magog. And what's going to happen is that there are going to be forces, enemy forces, that are going to come up against Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. And what the Navi is telling them is, you're going to be crushed and you're going to be destroyed in Eretz Yisrael at the gates of Yerushalayim. Because what will happen is the following. Miyamim rabim tipakei. It's been, Rashi says, it's been many, many years that you've sinned before me, and the time for you to be punished, tipakeid, here means to be punished. The time for you to be remembered and punished is now. Miyamim rabim, after many years that you've caused suffering to the Jewish people, you will be punished. Ba'acharit hashanim, at the end of years, tavo, you're going to come against Eretz, a land. The Navi is now going to give four descriptions of the land. Three of them are going to be descriptions of the population that are in the land, and one is going to be a description of the land itself. At the end of days, you're going to come against the land Mishovevet Necherev. The inhabitants of that land have been returned from the sword. They have come back from the jaws of the sword. Obviously, I read this as meaning the remnants of the Shoah that have returned to the land. And then, you know what? What was the next step? After the establishment of the state, Mekubetzet me'amim rabim, Jews were gathered in from many, many nations. They came from all over the world. So that's the second population group. Where are they now situated? Al Horeb Yisrael, upon the mountains of Israel, asher hayu l'chorba tamid, that have always been desolate, but now they are not desolate. When Yechezkel uses the term Hore Yisrael, the mountains of Israel, he assumes that you will immediately make the association with a pasuk that appears earlier in Yechezkel, in chapter 36, and I believe it's pasuk 8 over there. That happens to be a pasuk that I've said often in Shir, where Yechezkel, in the name of God, says to the mountains of Israel, Va'atem, you, Hore Yisrael, mountains of Israel, Ampechem titenu, give out your branches, ufer yechem tisu, and carry your fruit, la'ami Yisrael, for my people Israel, ki kervu lavo, because the time of their return is coming close. It's upon this Gemara that it's from this pasuk that the Gemara says, Ein lecha keitz migula mizu, there is no greater revealed end of days than this, when Eretz Yisrael begins to give out produce that is able to sustain a population, then you know that Jews are on the way back home. Because Yechezkel is telling, in the name of God, he's telling the mountains of Israel, begin to give your fruit when Jews are on their way home. And Eretz Yisrael, we know that for 1900 years was absolutely desolate. No population was ever able to make it here. They just eked out a living from the land and no more than that. But now, of course, we have a tremendous abundance of produce that comes from the earth. That's only the result of the fact that the land remained faithful to the Jewish people, and when the land knew that Jews are on their way home, that's when it began to give out its produce. So when Yechezkel talks about Horei Yisrael, so he's talking about a people that are coming to a land that had always been desolate, but now they are settled on Horei Yisrael. Asher hayu lecharvot hamid, that had always been desolate. And there's a third population. The third major group of population is Vehi me'amim hutza'ah. They have been taken out from amongst another people. And the Malbim over here says, amazing. The Malbim says, there will be another group of people who are not permitted to leave their land in order to go to Eretz Yisrael, and then all of a sudden, permission is going to be granted for them to go. This was, of course, extremely timely because the great wave of Aliyah from Russia was coming during the course of the first Gulf War. There's a third infusion of people, and that third infusion of people comes from those who were not permitted to leave and finally were given granted permission. So you should know, you're coming against the land, I know you, you're coming against the land that is made up of these three population groups. You're coming against the land that is now no longer desolate. And I'm telling you, Yashu, Laveta, Kulam, all of them are going to live in safety and security. There's an amazing Rashi over here. Rashi on Vehi Me'amim Hutza'ah, the second one that's underlined. Vehi Me'amim Hutza'ah, Rashi says, you have to go over this Rashi time and time again. Take it home, and Kazim. V'hoya l'chol osum aleiv, you should have paid attention, you enemies of Israel. You should have paid attention. Shehi me'amim hutza'ah, that here are people who've been taken out from amongst other nations. And they were brought here. V'hamotzi min ha'amim, the one who takes them out from amongst the nations and brings them to Eretz Yisrael. Lo yazvenu b'yodecha, is not going to give them over in your hand. You think the Chabeshim brought Klal Yisrael over here so we should suffer at the hands of Iraq? You're crazy, you're out of your mind. You should have paid attention that the one who takes them out and the one who brings them here is the one who's going to make sure that they're going to live in safety and security.
That's two.
Now we're going back to Yirmiyahu. We're starting on the side that says chapter 50.
And we're going to read a few psukim, beginning with Pasuk Chet. Nudu mikovavav.
I think that's where we were up to. And if I'm wrong, it doesn't make any difference.
Thank you.
Huh? Third line for the bottom. Nun? Okay. Nudu mitov bavel. Nudu mikov bavel. Get out of bavel. Nudu comes from the word navonad. You know, Yirmiyahu is describing many years before the event, he is describing the destruction of Babel. Babel will be crushed and utterly obliterated. Therefore, he says, Nudu mitov Babel, wander, get out of Babel. Umi eretz kaltim tse'u, go out of the land of the kaltim. V'hiyu ka'atudim lifnei tzon, you should be like the rams that lead the sheep. Don't be like sheep. Don't be like sheep who don't know which direction to go. Be leaders and lead people out of Babel. Behold, I am going to arouse and awaken, and I'm going to bring against Babel Kahal Goyim Gdolim, a coalition of nations. This, of course, sounded a great deal better 12 years ago. There's no coalition of nations. You know, I have a sneaky suspicion when Bush finally goes, I don't even know if Britain is going to be with him. They're all going to leave him there alone. And you should have the courage to do what has to be done and not be influenced by a world that is, I don't know what word to use about that. You know, all the great peacemakers, you understand, Russia, France, Germany, you understand, the greatest peacemakers of the world. They will pay for it. Okay. Because God says he's bringing a great coalition of nations, may edit Chafong from the north. For Orkula, or who comes to the word Ma'aracha, soldiers that are lined up and marching against Babel. Misham Tilakaden, there from the north, Bavel is going to be captured. Chitzav Kikibar. Well, were we talking about this word when we came to the end of the shiur last week? I don't remember. Huh? The next word is Chitzav Kikibar. Here it says Maskil. In other texts of Yeshayahu, it says mashkil, shin, sin. Now, the fact is that if in those texts, and the fact is that most of the texts have mashkil, not as it says here, maskil. Maskil would mean the arrows are the arrows of a warrior who is successful. Taskil means to be successful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yahushua at the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, wherever you go, you're going to be maskil. Mashkil comes from the word shechol. Your arrows are going to cause death. Whose arrows? He's talking about the arrows of those who are now coming against Bavel. Don't be afraid of your arrows. Interesting, of course, that Eretz Yisrael has missiles that are called chetz, the arrow. Today in the Ma'ariv, they had a, I don't know why they permit them to print it, they had a map where all of the patriots, arrows, chetz, and tomahawks are situated in Eretz Yisrael. I said that first. Okay? Unless it's just to fool the enemy, I don't know. Chitzov ki gibor maskil or maskil. Next side, lo yashuv reikam. No arrow is going to return empty. Kalzdin l'shalal, Kalzdin is going to be for plunder. All those who plunder her will be sated. There's going to be so much, they're going to walk off with all of the wealth and all of the might and all of the strength of Baba, says God.
There are different pshatim in this pasuk, but it may be talking about the joy and the happiness with which Bavel plundered and crushed Nachalati, my people, my land and my people. You are so happy. You are such great warriors. You spread out and became fat like a calf. And you made the great sound of the mighty warriors, the roar of warriors. Oh, you know what your end is going to be? Bosha in Kandiyot, your mother is going to be embarrassed. Chofra, your lot of him. The one who gave birth to you is going to be ashamed of you. You know what's going to be the end of all of the nations who are in Bavel? You know what's going to happen to Bavel? It's going to be Midbar, Tzia, Ba'arava, a desert, dry land, and a plain. Nothing is going to be there. And nothing remains of ancient Bavel ad hayom hazeh. The ruins of Bavel are no more than that. There are ruins of Bavel. Nothing. The fact is, already by the time, a few years later, already, after the destruction of Bavel, the capital city is not going to be Bavel anymore. It's going to be Shushan. The Persian capital is going to move to Shushan because nothing is going to remain of Bavel. Bosha Imchem, yes, okay. Miketzof Hashem, because of God's anger, Lotei Shei, it will never be settled. Nobody will ever be able to live in Bavel again. Voice of Shmoma Kula, it will all be desolate. Kol Over Al Bavel, whoever is going to pass by Bavel, Yishom, the Yishrok, Al Kol Makaseh, Yishom means will be amazed or terrified when he sees the destruction. And Yishrok means like one is going to whistle. Wow. Why? Look what happened to Papa. It'll be absolute destruction. By the way, this is another one of those broken in Tanakh. That if anybody wonders whether Moshe MS or the Russell MS, whether Torah is true, here is clearly a nevuah about Bavel that was certainly enough proof that it was said well before the destruction of Bavel. And there it is, everything came true. Irchwal Bavel, line up the forces against Bavel. Saviv, Kol Torchei Keshet, all of the archers are around her. You do a letter, shoot toward her. Al tachbulu el chayt. Don't be concerned about the loss of an arrow, of a missile, because they're all going to hit the mark. Kila Hashem chato, you sin to God, and therefore they will hit, each one will hit. Hariu al saviv. Rally and cry, the battle cry against her. Matna yada. And then all of a sudden, you know, that happens with Bavel. They lift their hands, they raise their hands in surrender. Notlu Ashiyoteha, her foundations have fallen. Nehesu Chomoteha, her walls have become crushed. Kinikmat Hashem, because this is God's vengeance against Bavel. Notlu Bavel, do it. Don't be a goody-goody man. Don't have Rachmanis on the enemy. Notlu Bavel, take revenge of her. Kasher Asta, as she had done to others, Asu La do unto her. Now in the next four psukim, I think, I want to point out a certain phenomenon that's really going to be the subject of the shir and may very well relate all of what we're saying to Pur. Watch the next few psukim. Tirsu Zorea Mibavel, destroy a planter from Bavel. No planting is going to take place there anymore. And therefore the topes magal, one who holds the scythe with which you harvest, the topes magal, the eight cuts here at the time of harvest, nobody's going to hold on to the scythe because since nobody's planting, there isn't going to be any harvesting. because of the sword of the Yonah. The word Yonah, what do you think the word Yonah means?
Oh, you all peaked. What? That's what you thought. Tweet, tweet. The dove of peace. So the word Yonah has another meaning. The word Yonah also means to oppress. We have it in Torah in a number of places. Lo tonu ish et amito. One person shall not oppress his friend. There is even a halacha called there's onoah in sales. If somebody overcharges for something, that's onoah. If somebody verbally abuses somebody, that's onoah. So here's the word Yonah, that on the one hand has such a peaceful, peaceful meaning, and then on the other hand it also has a meaning which is precisely the opposite. Now watch, let's go a little further. Ishalamo Yifnu, each person is going to turn to his own nation and go back to Ishla Soyan Usu, and each man is going to run back to his own land. Because what's happened during all of this time? Seh Pezura Yisrael, Yisrael was a sheep that was dispersed. Arayoti Bihu, lions pushed him out of his land. At the beginning of Yirmiyahu, when he talks about Nebuchadnezzar, he prophesies that Bavel is going to come against Israel. He talks about Ari Olam Yisufcho, a lion coming out from the underbrush, from his lair. And that's what they did to the Shepzalah. Harishon HaKhalon, the first one that consumed him, was the king of Ashur. And now this last one, Itzmo. Itzmo. We'll get back to the word Itzmo in a moment. Who's the last one that has Itzmo in him? That's Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel. The word Itzmo, stop me in my tracks. The English translation is correct. Itzmo comes from the word etzem, bones. But you know what itzmo means? Destroyed and crushed his bones. Babylon crushed thee. Rome led thee captive. Homeless thy head. Isn't that a strange word? Itzmo meaning to crush his bones. Itzmo would seem to mean giving him bones, not destroying his bones. You know what we have over here? We have another phenomenon of Lashon HaKodesh, where a word can mean one thing and its precise opposite. And what fascinated me about the word itzmo is, here is a case where it's true in English as well. When you bone something, what are you doing?
Filleting. Separating the meat from the bone.
So when you bone it, you are removing the bones. You're not putting bones in, right? That's an English word, to bone something. Very good. All right? We don't say to debone. Right? We say to bone something, right? So the word means precisely the opposite of what it sounds like. In Hebrew, the same thing. Itzmo would sound as though you're giving him bones, but you're not giving him bones, you're crushing his bones. But wait, we're not finished yet. I'm not finished yet. Lochem ko'amar Hashem tzvachot elokei Yisrael. Therefore, so says the God of hosts, the God of Israel. Yinini pokeid el melech bavel ve'el arzo. Therefore, I will punish the king of Bavel and his land, Kasher Pokadati El Melech Ashur, as I punished the king of Ashur.
Ashur, during the times of Chizkiyahu, the great conqueror of Eretz Yisrael, was Ashur. Ashur fell before Bavel. Now it's Bavel's turn to fall. The word Pakod. How many meanings do you know for the word Pakod? Let's go. Come on. Who? What? Say? Yes, so tell me, what does that mean?
redeem.
Yosef said it to the Yosef.
Pakod yifkod Hashem elokim etchem, redeem. Ufagdenu volav racha. It means to remember. Vahashem pakad etzara kasher amar. Okay. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What was last week's sedra?
Pikudei.
Eile pikudei ha-mishkan. Lifkod means to count. How many? To count. To remember. To punish. Huh? To redeem. It has one other meaning. Measuring? Could mean measuring. I don't know if I said measuring, but all right. To safeguard. Hifkadeti oleho shomrim pikadon. And then it has a meaning that's precisely the opposite of all of those. It means to be missing. To be missing. Vayomer David el Yonatan. David said to Yonatan, Vayomer Yonatan. Yonatan said, Mocha Chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. V'nifkadeto ki yipokeid moshavecha. You will be remembered because your seat is going to be empty. Lifkod means to be missing. The same word that means to count. To remember, you know, same word means to be absent. All right, let's go further. Kadosh is holy. Holy, holy, holy. A kadesha. You understand? A prostitute is a kadesha. How in heaven's name does the word kadesha go with the word kadosh? No, it's not a euphemism. It's not a euphemism. I'll tell you, if you want a euphemism, I don't think you can call a kadesha a saint. So what are you going to call a real saint? Who? Yeah, all right. I hear all the pshat. So then I'll give you another one. The word chesed. The word chesed means great kindness. You know what the word chesed also means? I think in the Parshas Kedoshim it says one amongst the illicit relationships, zimahi chesedhu. It's ugly. It's despicable. And the word chesed is used actually 10 times in Tanakh as meaning something that is absolutely abhorrent. How do you have the same word meaning one thing and the precise opposite? Shamshin Rafael Hirsch at the beginning of Torah talks by Yechulu Hashamayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzvaam. I may even have it here. By Yechulu Hashamayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzvaam. Here it is. Zerut Kalei Chof Lamed Hei combines two apparently opposing meanings. Kalei means to be destroyed. L'chalot is to destroy. And Vayuchulu over here means the successful completion of something. Opposite meanings. So you should know one of the more radical approaches to this is Reb Tzadik HaKohen. Reb Tzadik HaKohen, most probably 5 or 6 of his svarim, says that every root in Lashon Kodesh means one thing and its precise opposite. Why is it so? Many of them, of course, are ready to show many words that do fall into that category. Many of the Mefarshim say just that there are a lot of words. Rashi points it out in Chumash a number of times. The word, what does Lesharesh mean?
Huh? Lisharesh. Lisharesh. Lisharesh means to uproot. To uproot. Lashrish is to cause something to take root. And Lisharesh is to uproot. Deshen, just one moment. Rashi says it in Parshas Tetzave. And he says it again in Dvarim and a number of times. The word Deshen is Trumas HaDeshen, to remove the ash. It also means to bring the ash. Does it mean to remove? I can go on and on. A gay, Gimel Yud Aleph, is a valley. From what root does it come? From the root Ge'er. Ki go'o go'o. Same word. Precise, precise opposite. Precise opposite. Many of the Mepharshim say the following, that what's at the very root and the heart of this is, number one, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, also created a balance in the world. There has to be isun, there has to be balance. Balance between good and evil, between beautiful and ugly. Can't let the world go out of kilter. Otherwise it's going to need a mid-course correction. Lashon Kodesh is the language with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the world into being. And therefore, in that language that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used for Priyas HaOlam, that language contains within itself the two extremes within each root word of Lashon Kodesh, according to Rav Tzadik. It means something else as well. There are many who say that this is one of the means, in a sense, that was used to fight off the influence of the Persian world. The Persians believed in Zoroaster. The Persian belief was the belief in the God of light and the God of darkness, the God of good and the God of evil. They saw the whole world divided into 2,000 forces. That was Persia. And the fact is, even in davening, when Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the davening, they took that into consideration. And therefore, right after Baruch Hu in the morning, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Yotzer Or, Uvorei Choshech, Oseh Shalom, Uvorei Hashakol. Not two gods, not more deities than one. Everything emanates from one creator. And that is demonstrated every time you have a word. Every time you have a word that contains within itself an idea and its precise opposite, because everything flows from one source. Everything comes from one source. In fact, is when you take a look at the Megillah, take a look at Megillah Esther. You know what Megillah Esther really is? Megillah Esther is what the Gemara says about Achashverosh. He was Melech Hafachfach. He was topsy-turvy. The whole Megillah is up, down, sharp differences. Haman is up, Haman is down. Mordechai is down, Mordechai is up. Vashti is up, Vashti is down. It would seem to leave the impression as though there are two opposing forces. And that's why I believe the Megillah has to be read in order from beginning to end, in order that it emerges as a story. And what we have to take from the story is that it's all one Rabbeinu Shalom that did it all. All one Rabbeinu Shalom. Chesed. The word chesed is one that I've thought about a great deal lately for certain reasons.
especially since a fellow rabbi told me something that he had in his diary. You know, some of these calendars come with Gute Werte down at the bottom. Anyway, he was a Gute Wort by Bishop Creighton. I don't know who Bishop Creighton was. I never heard of Bishop Creighton. But he certainly was a pretty interesting fellow. He said, no people do as much bad as those who go about doing good. I have to understand what the man is saying. It's a Tiefenwort. It's a Tiefenwort. Chesed is great. Chesed is... Gemilas Chassadim, there's nothing like it. But Gemilas Chassadim, like everything else, has to be done with great wisdom, with great tact, with a great sense of propriety. Otherwise, you can destroy people in your headlong rush to do chesed. So you know what chesed can sometimes turn out to be? Ugliness. And therefore the same word chesed means precisely its opposite. I'm not going to start telling you stories now, but I can tell you stories. And I hardly even think of stories. Chesed is great. I suggest it. I advise it. I'm all for it. But it has to be done with great wisdom. The Mesilat Yesharim, which is the classic volume of Musar in the Torah world, Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. So he describes different character traits. He talks about Zehirut, how to be careful not to do an Avera, Zrizut, the way in which to do mitzvahs with great fervor. He talks about Mekiyut, being clean. He talks about Kedusha. And in each one of the Midos that he talks about, and there's some 10 of them, he describes the Midah, and he also describes how you are to acquire that great character trait. By only one of them does he have a chapter called Mishkal. Mishkal HaChasidut. By Chasidut he has a chapter that talks about how to weigh Chasidut.
So basically what he's saying is,
it's chapter 20 in the Mesilat Yesharim. Kedai, you have a chance and you have nothing to do, and certainly if you have a Mesilat Yesharim within this translation, he says, for example, you have to understand, Ki ein ladun divrei hachasidut al mar'ei hen harishon. You can never judge an act of chesed by a first look, a quick first look. You have to look into it, and you have to study it. What else you have to take into consideration? What may be the possible outcome of that chesed? You never know what's going on by somebody else. I mean, I can give a very crude example, which is clear to everybody. You know, you shower chesed upon a person in a semi-public manner, and the person is dying away from embarrassment. And you are doing chesed, and you think you're doing the biggest mitzvah in the world. And the poor recipient is dying over it. But because you are so caught up in your own mitzvah doing, you haven't taken out the time to consider how should it be done. I mean, I've seen people or heard people talk about the evils of Lashon Hara, and in the same breath talk Lashon Hara about Lashon Hara is terrible. All those Mizrachistan talk Lashon Hara. How do you like that? You have no idea. There's a certain sensitivity that's required. Certain sensitivity. This is an unbelievable piece over here, where he gives all sorts of examples from Tanakh and other places. We're being too pious. And Chassidut doesn't mean only chesed. Being too pious. And the classic example, of course, it gives is that a report reaches Gedalia ben Achikam that they're going to assassinate him, that somebody's planning his assassination. But Gedalia is so religious, he won't accept Lashon Hara. So you know what happens because he doesn't accept Lashon Hara? He gets assassinated. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Kodesh and Kadesha. I'll tell you what Kodesh and Kadesha is. I'll give you, I think, a very good example. Holy. It's great to be holy. The Rebbe Shlom says, Kadoshim Tihiyu. But every holiness has to be balanced. For example, the Catholic Church decided on celibate priesthood and nuns. And you know what they created? They created a whole bunch of sick people. They created a whole group of leadership that are sick. In the United States, they now know it. They're beginning to find about it all over the world. We could have told them that 1,000 years ago. You can't fight the nature that the Rebbe Shlom created in this world. You know what happens if you're going to try to be too holy? You're going to become an ugliness. The same Kedusha can become Kedesha. So it's true with many words and with many ideas. And Klal Yisrael says no. It's one.
You have Yeshayahu sheet. Pick out Yeshayahu sheet. I put something on the back of the Yeshayahu sheet. I think with this, I'm going to have to wrap it up. It's getting a little difficult for me. I found this a few days ago. This is one of the famous demands of Purim is the kind of finish of Summa the Puriya. A person is supposed to get high on Purim. How the Lord God on Purim doesn't know the difference between Oil Haman, the cursedness of Haman, and Baruch Mordechai, the blessedness of Mordechai. Everybody has tried to learn stuff. What in heaven's name does that mean? Does it has to show and mean that I should be able to say Baruch Amon and Besh Mordechai? Because you become that shikha, this is what Torah wanted, this is what the Halacha wanted. This is from the Fulmi Zamanor. Amar Maran is a Fulmi Zamanor. Hapshat Achi Karaz Me'emet. The chant that's closest to the truth in Adalo Yoga, in Oro Hom and the Baruch Mordechayu, Mashakotu Alavush, and the Shulchan Aruch Bulavush. Shiyeshna Gematria, Shishova Oro Hom and the Baruch Mordechayu, there is a Gematria in which Oro Hom equals Baruch Mordechayu. That's it, I figured it out. If you get a little too high, you won't be able to figure out the Gematria. But the Gematria turns out to be that Oro Hom is 501, and Baruch Mordechai is 502. So now, if you're sticklers for precision, then you're going to have a problem. But I think that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman said, yes, not Gematria, because there are different ways to work a Gematria. And you should know that I'm not a Gematria person. The only Gematrias I ever deal with are those that come from Gedolei Yisrael, because otherwise you can make a churban in the whole world. With gematrias. I mean, people, you know, I know people get hooked on gematrias, and it's like the Bible calls. Yes, I might shut not say too much. I can find you a gematria Saddam Hussein Sadiq got it. Like you think I can't find, or Saddam Hussein told not all. You can do whatever you want with a gematria. Whatever you want. Why can't I do that? So therefore, Gematria is something that has to be treated very carefully. When Gedolei Yisrael or the Gemara says the Gematria, then it's easy. But we hear it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, the Gematria. So one of the ways in which the Gematria can work is that there's also, you may add one number for the kolel, for the words themselves. So therefore, the Oro Haman from 501 can become 502. All right. So Shlomo Zalman said, you have the two gematrias, צורך נשת על שיותר נמדו, עד שלא יכול לעשות את החשבון הזה. So the Lord said, you should drink that much that you won't be able, you'll have difficulty making the Heshbon, you know, that 2 and 5 and 200, you can't make the Heshbon. So what's the intent of it? What does it mean? Kavana Salatushu, Shiyesh Bnei Odom Shechoshim, Shiner Sakon, V'yelsin, Zeshen, Yitzan, Mimov, Shavon, people who think that the great miracle is that we were saved from death. יש אחים שחושבים שמפול את הראש הוא הנס הגול מראש הוא think that the fall of the rush is the great mess. Therefore, Rav Nizamit says you have to drink until there's no difference between one and the other. It's all one mess. גם המפולה וגם ההצלה, the fall of Haman and the salvation of the Jewish people. I want to read one step further over here. You know what they were telling us? This is precisely the way we stand up against Persian culture. There were no two deities here, one who brought down Haman and one who saved the Jewish people. Everything emanates from one God. All of Haman and all of Martin are all one. All one, because there's one God. And that one is a base woman that Hashem Echad. He's the one who destroyed Haman, and he's the one who saved the Jewish people. So that the Abba Lo Yada, no difference, there's no difference. If I take you back to something we talked about last week, I take you back for a moment. You don't have to be at the source of our authority's great mistake. Like we learned the Gemara, that the Belshazzar king of Babel tried to calculate the 70 years, what was he concerned about? Because he and Yo said two prophecies. One that at the end of 70 years Babel will be crushed, and the other that at the end of 70 years he should be saved. Belshazzar was concerned about finding out whether the destruction of Babel was really going to happen. So he made his calculation on my, doesn't seem so according to his calculation. He miscalculated by a few hours because he was destroyed that night. Ahasuerus is going to make a second calculation. Why does he make the second calculation? Didn't he see that Babel was destroyed? Didn't he see that Daniel said the truth? You know why Ahasuerus makes a second calculation? Because there may be one deity who's the destroyer of Babel, and there's another deity who will be the savior of the Jewish people, but they're not the same. So it makes no difference if he would have believed in a one God, not in opposing forces in the world, then he would have known that as absolutely certain as the destruction of Babel was already in the days of Ahasuerus, the redemption of the Jewish people was going to happen. But he didn't believe that. He saw the world split into all sorts of forces. The unity in the world is what causes all gave to the world. And that unity is expressed in Lashon Kodesh. And you're going to notice, you're going to come across it time after time. Even the word Ochal that we had over here. Ochal means to destroy. Ochal means to eat. One is a positive, one is negative. Ochal, Kodesh, Chesed, Ayahulu, Pokod, Ge'er, Gay, Pela. Somebody talks about the word Pela. Pela is a great miracle that happened in the presence of everybody. And then you know what else the word Pela means? Concealed. Ayahulu, may Hashem, Babo, is there anything that's concealed before God? The same word that means great miracle also means something that is hidden and concealed. So, exactly what Jimmy Yo had in mind. He welcomed that the full of brothers would come and no hair shall fall from any Jew anywhere in the world.
Amen.
And the Na'apoku, that's all of Purim, the Na'apoku. The Na'apoku is really the message of one of those words in Lashon Kodesh. The same word is Na'apoku. You can take the same word and it means one thing, and it means precisely the opposite. I said, you should be told you didn't have enough to sign that up. I'm going home. You may keep that. I'd be very happy if you keep that. You know what?